This week we figured we should still talk, learn a little bit about somebody affiliated with the team. Who better than the voice of the Riders, Mr. Rod Peterson, host of the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM, play-by-play guy for the Riders, and he joins us on the line right now. Rod, thanks for taking our call.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm very honored to be on the Piffles podcast, guys. You're doing great things with it, so I'm the one that's pleased.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Now, first off, Rod, our condolences on the recent passing of your father. First question, what was he like?
Well, he was a pretty cool guy. He was a farmer, he was a cowboy, he was a hockey scout, and he was a Rider fan. So I get asked so many times, guys, where I grew up, and it was 30 miles south of Regina on a farm. So some of my earliest recollections of Rider games were going with him, sitting right up under the press box. He had season tickets there, and it was Joe 747, J.J. Barnagle era. Just to give you an idea, early 80s. So he was a very kind man, and we had to have his funeral in the Milestone Hockey Rink to accommodate all the people that were there that come from far and wide to be with him and us as we remembered him on a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, it was tough to miss, but you know what? He was 81 years old. He had a great life, and we miss him, and we'll always miss him, but he's a great guy.
Now, what's the one thing he told you that always stuck with you?
Finish the job. Is on the farm when we were younger, when I was a teenager, he used to pound his fist on my forehead and say, finish the job. And whatever task it was on the farm, that what it was he was talking about, whether it was dealing with livestock or fixing corrals or working in the field, finish the job. So as much as I didn't really like it on the farm and I left as soon as I could, I just transferred that to my media career and everything else that I do. I don't leave anything undone. And that's kind of the legacy that he left, was my work ethic was what he left with me, finish the job. And I actually talked to kids about that in teams in a motivational speech, and it all came from him. That was his thing. Don't do anything half-assed.
You just mentioned your media career. You have probably what is a lot of people's dream job. How did that come about?
You know, it's funny you say that. I came to Regina in 1995 to call the Pats games. And in about 98, the radio station had come to me and said, would you be interested in doing the Rough Riders too? And I said, yeah, sure. But it was blocked at that time. I don't, no reason to say who by. But after the 1998 season, the radio station came back and said, you know, you're doing it. You're going to be the voice of the Riders in the Pats if you think you can handle both. And I said, yeah, sure. I didn't have the biggest background in football. I was more of a hockey guy, but I had done the Rams in 1991 on CKRM. But I plunged my, so 1999 was my first season with the Riders, and I, you know, delved into it. Had a phenomenal teacher in Carm Carteri, great guys with the organization, and Al Ford and Cal Murphy, who spent a lot of time with me, bringing me up to speed. And that was 3-15 that year, gentlemen. You remember it. It was like the worst year in Rider history, probably, to be perfectly honest. So every year since has been a bonus. I was actually, as tough as it was, and the team being $3 million in debt, and the whole Reggie Slack saga, and all the bad things that went on, and the GM quitting, and the coach being fired, or however it all ended, it's been nothing but better since. It was actually a pretty good way to come in, even though it seemed really rough at the time.
So what's game day for the voice of the Riders like?
Well, you know, here's a little secret, and I know you got a lot of listeners, but everybody thinks that you can't bug Rod on the day of the game, you can't bug Rod. No, game days to me are they're like a vacation, because I get up, have my coffee, read what's going on in the CFL. Most of my work's been done the night before in terms of, it takes about 2 to 3 hours of prep work to get ready for a game. The depth charts that we fill out, heights, weights, stats, schools of all the players, my game day preview that runs on my site. There's 2 to 3 hours of work to go into that. But I kind of just take it easy and rest your voice. And I try to get now a game day luncheon at Famoso, the restaurant that I have bought into, do that, and get to the stadium probably two and a half hours before the game. Try to do a walk around the field and just kind of get the vibe and the buzz and talk to, you know, personalities from both sides. That's where I met June Jones a couple of weeks ago on the field at Mosaic Stadium, a couple hours before the game. That's cool. And then I get up into the booth, and I honestly like to sit there by myself and watch warm-ups and, you know, go over names and numbers and think about visualize the broadcast. And it's funny because quite often we see Chris Cuthbert, probably every second game Cuthbert's doing the game with TSN, and he does the exact same thing. We kind of laughed about it. He sits in the booth by himself and looks at the field and does those last-minute things. So I don't always like to be alone, but I like to be alone a couple hours before the game just to get ready, because calling Rider games is a pretty big job, and you better be in the right mindset to do it.
Now, you've already mentioned a couple of names. One question we've got for you, who has been the absolute best interview that you've had, at least in recent memory?
I would always have to say, well, I would say Scott Schultz all time, and that's tough because he's a close friend too, and we've not only done a lot of interviews, we co-hosted the Sports Cage on Fridays together for years. We've traveled all over the province speaking together, but Schultz, he was always great for a great quote. And you'll remember his time with the Riders wasn't always great as a team. A lot of ups and downs in the Shivers and Barrett era. But he always was the guy. Not only was he a good interview, but when nobody else would talk, you could always get something out of Scott Schultz. Win or lose, scandal or no scandal, the best times, the worst of times, Schultz, he would talk. And he just felt that was his responsibility as a Saskatchewanian, Moose Jaw kid, a leader on the team. I always appreciated that. Now, it's clearly Daron Carter. I would interview him every day if I could. I absolutely love Daron Carter. You guys follow what I do. I don't hide. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. If I love somebody, I'll tell you. If I hate somebody, I'll tell you. I love Daron Carter. And you can always put a mic in front of his face, too. He's never going to say no. The tough thing is he says so many things on Twitter. He doesn't leave much left for the interview. He said it all already on social media. But when we were getting Daron, this is the unfair thing about the media. And I have a lot of battles with the people within the media that the people don't even know that we battle. But I don't like how they can portray you really ugly if they want, and it's completely out of your control. So I had a bias against Daron, and it wasn't a good one. Like when the Riders signed him, I thought, what are you guys doing? And first few brushes with him at training camp, I didn't care for him. And then we started getting on some road trips together. I was around him every day here, and I thought, this guy is the best guy. He's got the biggest heart, and he's so unbelievably misunderstood. So that's why I'll stick a microphone in front of Daron's face as much as he wants to talk, because the media can portray him. The Saskatchewan media hasn't done that, but I would say the national media and the Montreal media haven't done Daron any favors.
What's been the most memorable fan call you've ever gotten?
The ones that I've said?
No, from a fan. Call?
Like a post-game calling
into my show?
Yeah.
Well, I've had a few, obviously, doing open line radio. I was doing open line call hosting before I was even the voice of the Riders. I just remember one time, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he called in and started crying on the air. I think he was from Sultan, Saskatchewan. Sultan, something like that. And he was, the Riders had lost, and it was the most devastating thing in this guy's life. And he just started crying. And I felt terrible because I'm on the air live trying to counsel this guy and trying to tell him it's not that bad. Things will be better. Make it what you're grateful for. I'm like, this is a conversation not suited for the radio. I should be taking this guy out for coffee. But it's, you know, you hear the emotion in just about every caller that calls into the show. Everyone, everybody. And you, believe me, I've had tons, hundreds probably of angry people, shouting people, but only one where a guy just started crying. And I will never forget that one.
Now, what's your favorite call that you've done? Grey Cup 2013, 2007, Labor Day. Is there one that sticks out to you as you think you're like, I'm most proud of that call of a game?
Well, frankly, the Bo Levi Shut Your Mouth one is the one that's got the most traction. And I've gotten grief from that, from people in the new world that I'm in, religious community, recovery community, but that's not very humble. That's not very nice. And I'm like, yeah, I've learned you can't translate that world to the sports world. I mean, there's just so much testosterone, so much emotions. And the one 2007 when I said, go crazy, Saskatchewan, go crazy at the end of the Grey Cup, I stole that from Jack Buck at the St. Louis Cardinals from way back 50 years ago. I stole that. The Bo Levi one just came out of my mouth because I was so upset at him trolling and bullying Duran all week. But when Duran shoved it down his throat, that just came out. And then to see it on a T-shirt a year later at the games was just the most, one of the most miraculous feelings that I'd ever had. But there's a guy in Tampa Bay, the voice of the Buccaneers, Gene Deckerhoff. He's got all these sayings, and they've got him painted on the side of the stadium in Tampa Bay. I've been down. The things that he said on the radio, I don't have any that are as iconic as that that they would even consider painting on the side of the stadium. But I would say there's two or three. The Go Crazy Saskatchewan and Bo Levi Shut Your Mouth ones that I just smile and am glad that they caught on.
I don't know. I would probably like seeing the Bo Levi Shut Your Mouth on the side of Mosaic as long as he's coming in.
If they're willing to do it. But that's the thing is the Riders as a franchise still want to live by the humble Saskatchewan way. And, you know, that's not their way. But I look at things a little differently. I mean, I lived in Calgary. I went to school there. And I just, after a time, I just got tired of Saskatchewan getting bashed by Calgary. I think it's very evident in my talk show. It was very evident in that call. I'm just tired of it. We're not taking it anymore. And I shouldn't speak for Saskatchewan. I shouldn't speak for the Rough Riders in that regard. Just a whole lot of emotion came out in that call. And you can hear it if you listen to it.
With the team on the bye week, how does Rod Peterson spend his bye week?
Well, in this particular one, it's not great. My mom's going through some significant health issues. I don't think that she'd mind if I said, but she's got a cancer battle that she's in, and this was just dropped in our lap very shortly before my father passed. So the bye week has actually come at a good time. I spent the last one with my dad, spending this one with my mom. So that's how I'm going to spend it. And she's the biggest Rider fan ever. When I went to go do the show today, she had it on in her hospital room listening to it. My parents, very big supporters, and my mom always said that every time I came on the radio to my dad, it was like the first time I'd ever come on. He was so excited every time. She's very similar. So I'll be spending the time with her, but I've really enjoyed this schedule with the Rough Riders this year. I don't know how much the Riders have enjoyed the short weeks, like the one last week with Edmonton, but I love the Thursday night games. We had a lot of weekends to go to Catepwa Lake and Last Mountain Lake and go golfing and tubing and doing all the things that the rest of Saskatchewan enjoys in the summertime. I've really enjoyed this season. So because I'm a rural guy, grew up that way, I do like to get out of the city if I can, if there's a couple days off.
Now, what's the transition like for you in the booth going from working with Carm Tartieri for so many years to a younger guy like Luke Mullinder? And how have you helped him along through the first year and a bit of his career there?
Well, I mean, it was a tough transition. It wasn't an easy transition. Carm's a very popular guy with a lot of fans. There's no two ways about it. Luke moved in, and they had a lot of raw talent. And the thing with Luke is, you know, he played with Darian Durant. He played for Mark Trestman. He had a lot of relationships with the guys currently in the league, and he brings a really fresh description to what he's doing in the booth, plus on Mondays and Fridays when he's on the radio with me. The only adjustment, because I think he's, you know, he hasn't not needed much coaching at all, is he gets really, really, really fired up before games. Like, I mean, bouncing off the wall, fired up. And if you're listening to the pregame show, you'll hear that. And I, like, literally have to put my hand on his shoulder, and he's, like, trembling. It's like he's running out of the tunnel. And I don't know if he'll ever lose that. That's just the way that he is. That's how he lasted 9 years in the CFL and played with three teams. But I love his passion, and, you know, I love traveling with him. We go to the Florida mini camps. We go to the Riders training camp in Saskatoon. If we're walking through an airport or through a mall, the two of us are together. It's like I'm walking with Canada's version of The Rock. That's what I always call him as. That's what he looks like, and people think I'm like his manager or his agent or something. But, I mean, you got to talk to a guy from a farm and a community of 600 people, Milestone, to a guy with like Luke, who is from Mississauga. He's a big city guy, and we spend a lot of time together. We get along really good. He's one of my closest friends, so that has made the transition very smooth, I think.
Looking at this year, at this Saskatchewan Rough Rider team, it's been a year full of roller coasters already, and we're barely a third into the season. What's your take on the 2018 Riders so far?
Well, it's been almost exhausting or draining, to be honest with you. And you're right. It's just we've been talking about it over the last couple of weeks. Why is it that the peaks seem so high when they win and the valleys seem so low when they lose? It's just physically exhausting. And I don't think it's just for us, for the people that cover the team. It's obviously for the fans, too. It's just been a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I just often look at Calgary and, you know, their unbeaten record when they left Regina. I'm thinking, man, that would be nice to be like them. No drama, no, you know, they're just running at top efficiency all the time. For us, I mean, it's fun, and I love the fact that everybody's into the team. It's just, it gets draining sometimes, especially when they lose, and you feel like you have to defend every decision they make when you don't even know what goes into the decisions, why they're playing Duran at corner, why they're trusting three running backs, why they're doing, I don't know why they do it. They certainly don't consult me. So I just stick with Chris Jones in terms of defending him. I think the world of Chris Jones as a person and a coach, and it makes it real easy when I'm on board with him, because there's been times over the years, through tough times particularly, where I didn't like the destination or the journey the Riders were taking. And that makes it real tough. But with the relationship that I have with Chris, it's good. I mean, we just survive these ups and downs. And I think it's important to point out that, you know, Steven, I think, will probably remember this. There was a time that I used to fight with the fans on the radio, fight with them on my website, and fight with them on social media. Now I don't fight with anybody. I just have a different perspective on everything. And I think everybody's opinion on the football team is valid. I may not agree with all of them, but there's no need to fight. Problem is, some people like to fight, you know, but I don't listen to them. I'll listen to every opinion and let them have their opinion, give them a channel for their opinion, but I don't get into the fighting anymore, because it's just, we are not going to affect wins and losses with this team, and we are not going to affect how Chris Jones goes about his business, or for that matter, Craig Reynolds, or the marketing department, or the sales department. They know what they're doing, they're there for a reason, and I'm just kind of along for the ride. And I hope provide a venue for the fans to vent or rejoice or whatever they do. I just love the fact that when I get out of bed every morning, I got a job that really matters to the people where I live. And that's something that never gets old.
Now, you're known for rather confident preseason predictions with when it comes to Saskatchewan. Do you ever take any ribbing from other media types, like obviously in fun? And who kind of gives it to you the most?
Well, let me just backtrack on that. The reason that I picked the Riders habitually to be in first place, there's two reasons. One, way back in 2001, I predicted the Riders would miss the playoffs, and I got a death threat. A credible death threat. And we had to get the Regina Police Service involved, and the guy that was the target of that investigation doesn't even like me bringing it up anymore. But it's pretty scary to be the target of a death threat. So I'm like, I don't need this. I'm just going to predict them to be in first place and hope for the best. Secondly, the Riders, the football mentality is so much different from hockey, where I spent a lot of years in hockey where it's quiet and humble and we'll go, you know, go about our business and quietly. Football, it's no, we're the best. We're going to be first. Come beat us. Come take it from us. So the Riders never have a problem with me predicting them to be first place. Their expectations are exactly the same. So I think every year people are just accustomed to be picking the Rough Riders to be in first place. And I think only once have I been right. But the other media, they know what I'm all about. They know my game. They don't even bug me anymore. It's the players from the other teams whose heads seem to pop off for some reason when I make these predictions. And I don't know why. I mean, the biggest one was Mike Riley a few years ago. I had the Riders picked to be first and the Eskimos last. And he just went, insane on Twitter, as did a bunch of his teammates. Calvin McCarty, Nate Kuhorn, some players in Winnipeg have taken umbrage with things that I've said in the past. And I just get tickled to death by it because I'm like, why do you guys care what I think? I just don't get it. And we've got players on the Riders now that just laugh because I go on Winnipeg radio fairly regularly and just give it to the Bombers. And this player, he played in Winnipeg. Well, it was Sam Earle, I don't mind saying. Sam's like, why do they keep having you on the radio? They know exactly what you're going to say, and they keep doing it. He goes, I love it. The Bombers just go nuts. So my thing, guys, is this is fun. This is entertainment. And what do we open this interview with? My dad, I just lost him. My mother's got a cancer battle. That's real life. And while it's real life to the football players and the coaches, and I get that it's their livelihoods, for the fans and what we're sitting here talking about tonight, this is fun. At least to me, it's fun. And I try to keep it fun. It's just, you know, somebody's always going to take it too far, and you end up in death threats and that kind of thing. But it's not going to change the way I do things.
Now you just mentioned, you know, life and everything there. Switching gears, getting a little bit more serious here. I want to talk just for a couple minutes about your sobriety here. First off, congratulations on being sober now. How long has it been?
As we sit here today, it's been, I think, 3 years, 7 months. If I'd known, I would have looked up the dates. It's like around 1,300 days or something. But thank you for asking. It's 3 years, 7 months. Yeah, best thing I ever did.
Now, what was the final straw that made you realize that this was something that you needed to do?
I was facing an intervention from the radio station executives that said, you're going to get help or you're fired. It was just came on the heels of my rock bottom about a day after I had it, going into the radio station incoherent and a combination of antidepressants and alcohol. And that was the end of that. I don't even remember going on the air. And I faced an intervention and got into recovery. And kind of the rest is history. Just the real cool thing about it is a lot has happened in the 3 years of sobriety, where I'm now a trained interventionist and giving interventions. And you know, it's a tough world. It's a tough thing to do. But I can tell somebody who's struggling with alcohol or drugs, I've been in that chair that you're in right now, and the chair that I'm in right now is a lot better than that one. And I actually thought that I was doing something really weird and strange until I talked to Chris Carter, Daron's dad, about this. And Chris does the exact same thing. Chris is 27 years sober. He's a trained interventionist, and he's doing interventions in the States. And it's, you know, you can't talk about the people you're doing them with. I can only assume that Chris is doing them in the sports world, but they might not be. I don't know. But he's doing it, and I'm doing it. And there's a, you know, there's a lot of substance abuse in the sports world and the entertainment world, because don't forget, I, you know, I'm a radio guy too, TV guy. The two careers intertwine magnificently, and it allows me to travel across the country and speak at treatment facilities. When I go on a road trip with the Riders, a lot of times I'll go to a treatment facility and go talk to the patients there, and it's great. I think the, well, I know the Riders support it. It's not something that we talk a whole lot about publicly, but they know that I'm doing it, and I'm just so deeply, deeply, deeply indebted to the Riders and the radio station for sticking with me when I was going through the rough times, that I find it pretty hard to give up on somebody now, because I believe anybody can turn their life around. It's I really enjoy doing it.
Well, that's really awesome, Rod. Thanks for telling us that. Finish us off here. We're running a fan contest this season to learn more about Rider Nation, and we end this question with them, so we'll end it with you. What does Rider Pride mean to the voice of the Riders, Rod Peterson?
What it means, what Rider Pride means, is the people of Saskatchewan. And I believe every single one of them is a Rider fan. And what this team means to the people of the province, I really believe with all my heart that they're the best fans in sport. Not just football, but the best fans in sport. And not only did I talk to them all season long here in Regina, but in the off season, I get out and travel all around the province and speak just about every weekend in some little town at their sports center representing the Riders. And they all have an opinion, and I can all tell the passion in their eyes. And what Rider Pride means to me is that it's the entire province, because I don't think there's a pro team in this country that has province-wide support like we do. as a football team. And while sometimes the ups and downs and the people's moods of the province can get a little annoying because it's pinned to the fortunes of the team, it is what it is. It tells you how much they care. I know that would be kind of hard to put on a fortune cookie or a tombstone, but rider pride means the people of this province and the love for their team. Every single heartbeat in this province loves that team. And I just love being able to somewhat be a conduit of the team to the fans. It's a role that I take very seriously.
Well, Rod, thank you so much for your time tonight. We do appreciate it. And go back out there and enjoy your bye week.
Thank you so much. And again, I really appreciate you having me on.
Rod Peterson, the voice of the Riders on 620 CKRM, host of the Sports Cage, 4 to 6:30 every Monday to Friday. Rod, thanks again.
Thanks, guys.